This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is AmTower Off-Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. Every week, author, speaker, consultant Mark AmTower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. AmTower Off-Center with your host, Mark AmTower.
Welcome to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We're also on federalnewsradio.com. My guest today is an old friend, Bob LeClade. Bob, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Mark. It's been a couple of years since we chatted, but good to be back with you on the air.
It is good to have you here. So last time you were here, were you with Ingram or were you with Avnet?
Probably with Ingram in those days. I don't think I talked to you during my couple of years at Avnet.
So. No. Should have, but we didn't.
I know. So. We talked and we never got this together, though.
Yeah. So let's do a little bit of Bob background.
So 25 years in the channel seems like forever some days. Started off actually as a buyer for the Navy on IT systems. So I came from the end user side, then about 10 years with what was then Tandem Computers, now part of the HP empire, and then moved into distribution probably 15, 20 years ago. So it's been a long time. I've seen the channel from as the end user, the manufacturer, and now from the distributor end.
Okay, and the distributor end for quite some time, because that's where I met you. So, cool. So, Ingram, then Avnet, and now Vice President of Channels at IMX Group.
IMX Group, right.
So, what are you responsible for at IMX?
So, I control our partner community. So, all sales and relationship with about 800-plus partners, that primarily federal and SLED partners across the country. So,
cool. And correct me if I'm wrong, virtually all of IMX's business is B2G.
It's all B2G. And it's all government. It's nice to be in a place that they know how to spell GSA and the contracts and know why we have to go after them. So
you aren't the bastard child.
Exactly.
Let's talk a little bit about the channel then, because once again it has more. When we met, probably in the mid 90s, every VAR out there sold everything imaginable.
Right.
What's changed?
I think the big thing that's changed is the move towards specialization, especially at the VAR solution provider level. I think now the technologies have gotten complex. Certainly the vendor certifications have gotten, I'd almost say, onerous. They're expensive to maintain. So you've got to get deep in a technology, deep in an area, and be good at it. So if I talk to a solution provider that wants to do cloud and cyber and big data and data center stuff, I go, oh my goodness, you realize how expensive that's going to be to maintain.
So in your five-person shop.
Exactly. Get specialized and get deep.
Okay. Specialization, we're talking, obviously, various certifications plus.
Right. So, and you need them on a couple of vendors. So to keep your sales certs up, your technical certifications, try to hold on to those engineers so they don't drift away from you. It's a big job for a solution provider's management to keep up with that.
How many channel partners does, on the VAR side, IMX have?
A little over 800 now.
Holy cow.
It's a bunch. And it's federal and SLED, although we are probably 85-90% federal. So.
Okay.
That ranges from the big ones, the CDWs and WWTs, down to some cases mom and pop shops. They're just very specialized in what they do.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised. I guess that CDW doesn't have relationships with everybody, but they do have direct. They have the capability that most VARs don't. And that is to have direct relationships with selected vendors.
Right. So it depends on the vendor. There's still a good portion of their business, and by good portion, probably 15-20%, I'm guessing, that goes through distribution channels.
Mm. So, they don't want to deal with all of the shrink wrap. So
true.
It's
true.
It is what it is. So the specialization now, we've been seeing that probably since the early 2000s with the companies that have grown quickest,
right,
and the ones that have grown slower or have atrophied are still trying to do the pretty much we'll get anything you need model.
Right. Well, I think the big change you see, Mark, is probably when you and I first met, we saw a lot of commodities. We were doing desktops and laptops and printers.
It was new. It was sexy.
It was neat, you know. As I think the enterprise products went to the channel, whether that's hardware or software, whether you're doing a big data center or the VCE type thing from, you know, that piece, or you're doing enterprise software, it's just more complex. So as enterprises come to the channel, it required the solution providers to get more specialized and get better at that.
Yeah, and it's been very much fun from a marketing perspective to watch because, like in let's take iOmega, for example.
I remember them, yes.
Your stuff was the slogan because you plug in a zip drive, you could download, you know, tons of stuff onto this bad boy and take it to the next computer. So you could take your work home or your stuff from home to work or even, my God, on the road.
Yes, imagine that.
But the thing that was cool there is they branded this little product, even though it was a sunset product. The branding side is still important, but you're branding the source now, the VAR, rather than the product.
Exactly, because I think in any of the technologies, any of the areas, you know, we can talk about, whether it's data center or networking or cyber, you know, I think what is valued more than anything else is the value add that word VAR gives you, where they look for an independent source, somebody that's somewhat neutral can come in and go, here's what you're doing in your data center with your cybersecurity. We've got recommendations for you because we've looked at 4 or 5 different technologies. So I think that's what the solution providers have to be doing to, you know, an agency CIO somewhere.
Right, and you know, you could witness that through the publication evolution as well, because there was reseller management, and the reseller was somebody who literally would sell anything. And then there was the VAR publications,
right,
which was for that value-added community, the companies that not just sold the product, but help on the installation, the management, the butts in seat.
Services, right.
So, cool. So let's talk a little bit about the role of distribution here, particularly why it's important to the manufacturing side of the equation.
Well, for a couple of things, distribution exists in many different forms. Certainly, it's not for pick, pack, and ship anymore. Everybody does that. It's kind of table stakes. Today, I think what you look for is for distribution anyway, and especially in this market, in the government segments, federal, our SLED, is somebody can hold contracts, hold a GSA, hold a soup that then becomes available for the partners, as well as just credit facilities and all the weird financing agreements we'll get into. That is a value add that distribution brings to the table, as well as certifications on a new product set. So if you're a new solution provider and wants to step up with a particular vendor, you've got to go get sales and technically certified. And the distributors can bring that to you and train your staff on how to do that.
Okay. It also keeps the manufacturers at arm's length from GSA and direct relationships with certain shops in the government.
Oh yeah, I don't know that I've talked to a manufacturer lately that wants to hold their own GSA schedule. We've seen the compliance issues, we've seen the fines, we've seen people getting thrown off. And, you know, Immix Group built our business actually on helping people establish GSA schedules and, you know, make sure that all the IFF is reported and things like that. And, you know, it's interesting when you come to a company that has grown up under compliance, the internal controls, the ISO controls, and how that's all reported are impressive. So for a manufacturer, somebody that does that part-time, you're going to get in trouble, and you and I have got a rash of people we can tell them that have taken fines and things on GSA and other contractual vehicles.
Yeah, and we're not talking small companies here. We're talking some of the largest players vacating that small part of the market from their perspective, still having agreements, roles on other contracts, just not the schedule.
Right. Well, even the solution providers don't necessarily want to try to maintain their own schedule. It is still a pain. It takes a long time to get new products or mods onto a GSA schedule. It takes us a long time, and we're pretty good at it. So for a solution provider to try to maintain GSA schedules and that, it's better to let, you know, distribution take that role for you if you can.
Okay. Now, clarify something for me. Is Ingram a distributor or a master VAR or some hybrid?
Yeah, Immix Group, we consider ourselves actually an aggregator. So we are working with about 250 vendors on the line card today. We are holding contracts, GSA and other versions. What we don't do that some of the classic distributors do is we don't do any stocking. We don't do a lot of high-level hardware integration because we came out of the enterprise software space. Mm-hmm. So we consider ourselves an aggregator, but I would tell you it looks like what, you know, some of our distribution competitors do as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay. My guest today is Bob LeClade of the IMMIX Group. You can find them at immixgroup.com. I suggest you do so. The blog is absolutely excellent, and there's a lot of information there. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM back after these messages. Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Bob LeClade, Vice President of Channels for the IMMIX Group. Bob, we've discussed this on air and off air multiple times. Why is it important for especially resellers to have access to multiple contracts?
Well, I think depending on what agency you're talking to, there's probably two varieties, probably several contractual vehicles that everybody needs access to. Certainly, number one, product has to be on somebody's GSA. It establishes your street price for that product, and for COTS software, COTS hardware, you've got to have that. Secondly, it's the vehicle, and maybe it's trying to find the vehicle of choice for an agency. If you're going to deal with Army, they want to do an ITES 3H. You're going to go after, you know, the NIHs, it's the CIOCS types of things. SOUP is a big one, a NetSense too if you're in the Air Force. So I think sometimes you're looking at the agency or where you are in Department of Defense and figure out how they want to buy. So if you don't have one, and very few people, very few solution providers have them all, you need access to those. Both the GSA schedules are one of those, you know, big IDIQ GWACs that you and I know so well.
Yeah, Max Peterson, when he was at CDW, called it the trifecta. Everybody needs at least three major vehicles to sell from. And for CDW, the trifecta was GSA, SOUP, and the NIH vehicle.
Yep, perfect match. And I'd say, I think in DOD today, the NetSense and the ITES have become somewhat contract vehicles of choice for those particular, you know, groups.
Yeah. The SOUP, though, you know, you guys were a winner on SOUP 5.
Yep.
And the protest is in process.
Yeah, we held SOUP 4 as well, so we're okay with that. We can take deals down under 4 until 5 gets out of its protest stage.
There you go. So always nice to be on both. But, you know, SOUP is also popular with the uniformed services.
Yes.
SOUP has been popular across the board for a variety of reasons. Run through a couple of those, please.
Yeah, I think a couple of reasons SOUP has become so popular. Probably the first one is it is so easy to put new products onto SOUP. Everybody says 24 or 48 hours, you got it up there. And we can tell you if you're going against GSA with the same set of products, it can take you a month, two, six sometimes, depending on where that is. Hours to weeks. So big difference there. And then, quite honestly, the contract fees on SOUP today, 40 basis points versus 75 on GSA. So it's now become, SOUP has become a cheaper contractual vehicle from that agency fee piece and quicker to get new product onto it. That's why we have under 5. Looks like we're going to have 100 awardees, and that's why it's gone that way.
Yeah, and you know, may bump up that high. We'll see how the protests fare.
Sure.
Because you know as well as I do, or maybe better than I do, how tight Joanne writes those vehicles. So
yeah.
Nothing's protest proof, but that's about as close as you get. The other factor that's always amazed me about SOUP is how well the SOUP office at Goddard gets the customer service side of the equation.
Very much. As I said, most people would say it's the perfect contractual vehicle. It's probably the poster child for how to manage large IDIQs and has been for, what do we go back, 10 or 15 years to SOUP 1?
SOUP 1 goes back to 1993.
Yeah.
So 21 years now.
So I give that office tremendous credit for the way they've managed that all through. And haven't had any major blips anywhere through its life.
I've never heard you know, outside of the occasional protest, I've never heard bad news on this contract.
No.
And I watch.
You do. You know,
I want to see them warts. And they don't have any.
Nothing for you to report on. That's true.
No. And but it's great because it's nice to sit back and be a cheerleader for a vehicle like that. So Immix carries not just Soup and GSA and NetSense and ITOs. You know, I don't know how many different contracts you have for the feds, but it doesn't stop at the feds.
No, we have about 30 contractual vehicles today, and some of those are state-specific. So in some cases, we're holding particular vendors, WISCA contracts, state of Florida-type contracts. And we do that because we manage contracts so well. Vendors come to us and say, you know, would you manage my state of Florida or state of Ohio contract for us? So most of our state contracts are very, you know, vendor-specific. Mm-hmm. But we're in the feds are more generic across all our vendor lines.
Sure.
That's where we came from with managing those contracts. It's worked well.
You mentioned the WISCA. How many of the cooperative purchasing programs are you participating in?
Well, so we've just started moving to SLED in about the last 2 years. So it started with doing the WISCAs. Mm-hmm. You look at expanding it now into the PEPMs of the world, which is now Pennsylvania and California. You look at having to do a Texas DIR for some pieces of it. So those are probably the big ones that we've got on our immediate radar, you know, that we're working on at this point.
Okay, because in a few weeks, I'm going to have Steve Charles come in, one of your execs,
right,
with Harold Good, the former procurement officer for Frederick County, Maryland, and the president of the National Procurement mm-hmm. Institute, and we're going to talk about the various state, actually not state, the cooperative purchase agreements,
right.
Because it's not just states, but it's county and municipalities that can buy off them, too.
It goes all the way down.
Yeah.
You look at Texas DIR, every public sector agency, school in that state buys off the DIR contracts.
And so there's a few.
There are a couple of them, yes, several flavors.
Lord. If you're let's take it from a different angle. Somebody is a reseller. How do they go about picking their aggregator partner or distributor relationship? Number one, this is a loaded question.
But okay.
As a small VAR, which would you prefer?
Well, I think it used to be people look at where they could get credit lines and things like that. Today, there's so many financing vehicles, whether we're working with somebody on terms or escrow or flooring. You know, credit is no longer the big issue it used to be for a small VAR because you can find credit programs. If you show me a deal, I can figure out how to get it financed and take it down. I think the other things you look at today, so we've talked about contractual access if somebody's got it. You talk about vendor certification, sales, and training. And then I think you look at the market intelligence you can get from that source. We've got a very big market intelligence team that's looking for what we always call actionable market intelligence. We're not trying to predict what Veterans Administration Army is going to look like in 5 years. Our team is looking for, you know, where the PO is going to come from in the next 12 to 18 months.
The tactical side.
Much tactical. Sure, the vendors care about 5 years out in technology, but we're looking at, you know, where are we going to be able to pick up a PO in the next 1 to 2 years? Because that's where I want to direct the solution providers. So we'll look at a solution provider, look at their natural capabilities, what vendors they're certified for, and then go match them with particular federal or state agencies that are looking for that in that next, you know, 2 year window, if you will.
Okay, cool. So here's one of the reasons I like the MX blog that I mentioned at mm-hmm. the end of the first segment. You guys publish a lot of that stuff on the blog, so it's tip of the iceberg stuff. Obviously, clients get a much deeper dive and help.
Right.
But you're out there pushing the information for the community. Hey, there's some stuff coming down the pike over here at DHS. Are you aware of this?
Right. Exactly. That's what we do continuously throughout the year. Sometimes we'll be doing a deep dive for a particular partner mm-hmm. solution provider. But in November every year, we publish, and we'll do it in a big event this year, November 20th, which is our sales summer. We'll publish. Here's what's going on in DOD over the next 2 years. Here's what's going on in the civilian agency over the next 2 years. And the solution providers and our vendor partners will be there looking at that, saying, you know, where does that make sense to me to go? I've got this new cyber product, and then you go look at, you know, somebody in DHS that's looking like they need cyber. That's a good match that we'll be making out there.
Yeah, and the crew you put together to speak at the IT Sales Summit is pretty extraordinary, too. I know I'm one of them.
You're on one of our panels. But, I do know.
But yeah, no, across the board, it's a deep bench. So yeah. and it's not one of these gigs where, you know, everybody's best friend gets to speak and they may or may not be an expert.
Well, and you know, I've been doing this for a long time. I don't want to go to an event where all I'm listening to is the vendors say how great it, you know, their latest speeds and feeds and products are. Our events are much more targeted into what's happening out there in contracts, what's happening out there in cybersecurity, for example, what's happening in cloud, because our audience is our partners and our clients.
You know, I've spoken at some of those other events where the vendors are the main drive.
Right.
And I'm always the most popular speaker at those events because I'm not talking about a product. I'm talking about how to sell them.
Right, right. I mean, there's certainly, you know, opportunities at our sales summit in November to get together with the clients. But, you know, that's over a tabletop or at lunch or something like that. You don't want to sit there for 20 minutes and watch, you know, changing PowerPoint slides, in my opinion. You want to know where that technology is going within the agencies, and that's how we kind of built our agenda.
Exactly, and again, it's just going to be a superb event. My guest today is Bob LeClade from the Immix Group. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Back after these. Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Bob LeClade of the Immix Group. He is in charge of channels there. So if you're a VAR looking for a relationship with a distributor slash aggregator, you know, look up Bob. You can find him at immixgroup.com. Bob, let's talk a little bit about the necessity for a reseller or VAR to stand out from the crowd. I mean, you said you have 800 of them
yes.
as clients, and that's not the entire gene pool.
No.
So let's give these folks a few tips here.
Yeah, great question, Mark. When I'm talking to a partner, I'm always encouraging them to figure out how to differentiate yourself. How do you look different than everybody else? And I'll tell you an event I did a number of years ago, and I forget the gentleman's name, but he was vice president of communications or marketing for Harley Davidson. And his whole presentation was, you know, make a different noise, make a different sound. And he starts this presentation out with, okay, so what's the sound that a typical Japanese motorcycle makes? You know, Suzuki, Honda, any of them. It's like, I'm not good at doing that. He says, right. They all sound alike. What's the sound a Harley make? And it's the deep rumble. Exactly. He says, could we tune a Harley to sound like one of the Japanese bikes? Absolutely. We don't want to. And I took that out of there, it went on for another 30 minutes. But the point was, that's what I think a solution provider has to do is look different. And let me tell you how that becomes practical. If you walk into an agency CIO downtown and say, you know, I represent a major networking vendor, a major security vendor, things like that, well, guess what? One of my other 800 partners was there before you and will be there after you. So you look like everybody else. What I think you need to go in and say, we know what your environment looks like, we know what you're doing, and we know that you use particular vendors, but here's an add-on. Here's a piece of differentiation, a new vendor you probably haven't heard of that fits or fills a hole for this major vendor you're already doing or this major architecture. So you distinguish yourself. Granted, you're certified into five different product lines, major vendors, which you and I know well, Mark. But for a CIO, bring something different to the table. Bring a new vendor that maybe fills a hole in a security product that they haven't seen before. That will get you through the door as a solution provider.
Okay. So the specialization aspect, we've seen, you know, Immix and others build businesses. You know, you take a major provider like Adobe and then attract all of the Adobe add-ons from Adobe and all of those companies that support that particular platform. And as a VAR, you really need to understand how each of these little things plays with that, because you go into a CIO saying he has a question about a product he or she read about, you know, 2 weeks ago, relatively new. If you can't answer that question.
Right. Right. I think you've got that. So you've got to be certified on the main line, and then I think you've got to bring something else. And you're right, whether it's Adobe or a security vendor or a networking vendor, bring that CIO something they haven't seen before, maybe a problem they know that's there that they haven't solved. that gets you the audience with the CIO or the IT staff that you want to be dealing with.
Okay, what else can Avar do to differentiate here?
You talk about making a different noise, and I know I'm talking to the master of LinkedIn here on how that's utilized. And I'm very well known as a big advocate of small business. I think social media has really allowed small business now to make a different noise, to get out there and be noticed. And you're one of the masters of teaching people that. So I think that's real. You don't need to do a lot of marketing events and direct mailers and things like that. Use the social media to get your message to the market, to target those right. The federal agencies, they're watching, Twitter and things like that and LinkedIn these days. So it's a great way to get your message out there. I think every small VAR needs their marketing staff to be utilizing social media.
Yeah, about a month or two back, government executive did a small piece on the Army being the number three employer on LinkedIn. They were actually wrong. They're the number two employer. Not a mistake that was glaring, because you had to add in all of the Army agencies. If you added in Army Corps of Engineers, which is listed separately from Army on LinkedIn, and some of the other commands, it was IBM, HP, Army. Well, it's really IBM, Army. But feds, 1.4 million feds plus, are on LinkedIn.
Wow.
And it represents the entire gamut. Even the Intel community is the Intel community in much smaller numbers and bare bones profiles, but they're there.
But they are there.
Yeah.
Right. Now, and that's why I think you can get to some of those people and get your message out and talk about, some new cybersecurity product or capability you've seen. Mm-hmm. Somebody will pick that up. There's phone calls getting made back to these solution providers and vendors based on social media.
I spoke at the Hewlett-Packard Partner Summit early this year. I spoke at the executive side, and I would rather have spoken to the broader group. But, from that, I got three speaking gigs at other VARs. And at one of those VARs, this guy told me the really cool story. He said, he was in an admiral's office out in the Pacific, out in Hawaii. And the admiral was taking business cards from people, and he said, I don't give out business cards anymore, but if I reach out to you to connect on LinkedIn, we will do business. An admiral said,
wow.
Dude.
Impressive. No, they're there. It's a lot easier in trying to, get through the gatekeeper on the front desk at those places.
It is. And, it just goes back to that gatekeeper. Very few feds use a gatekeeper for their social media presence.
No.
CEOs at major systems integrators do, and other executives do, but not feds.
I concur with you. They're out there every night, every day, looking at that stuff.
Simon Seichman, who had recently left Commerce as CIO, very active on LinkedIn. If you look at his profile, go down the right side, people also viewed. There was another list of CIOs that was, 15 people long.
Right.
So I
like to see a small solution provider that's using the social media tools, because that's working for them.
It shows you, number one, you can't work with everybody. So you've got to have a checklist. Right.
Right.
So one of your checkpoints now is, are they engaged in social media and are they any good at it?
Right.
So, Gartner came out with yet another list. But this one was pretty neat. It's got the top 10 tech trends for 2015.
Yes.
And I want to play a little bit with this. And just talk about, because we're talking about how VARs can differentiate themselves. And literally here, each of these provides a very strong possibility or very strong case for that. So if you want to get the list, Google top 10 strategic tech trends for 2015 and the list will pop up. On the first page, if you're listening out there and want the list. But let's start with that computing everywhere.
Mobility. Boy, is that ever true. It started with BYO, bring your own device, BYOD, and now it's like whatever walks in the doors is the IT staff. You've got to deal with it. And we're going to work not only from the office, we're going to work from home, we're going to work from Starbucks, wherever that comes up. And so that's a requirement. You think about not only the capability of doing it, but the security of having to do it. You know, how not to get your morning latte and be hacked at the same time. So big issues out there. But mobility is is the new buzzword for all workers everywhere.
So I'm going to assume that Immix has some mobile solutions.
We do work in mobile security.
Okay. Just on the mobile security side, not necessarily the mobile device side?
Well, we're not providing devices per se. We'll be working on the software side of it more than anything.
Okay. Yeah, because you can pick up your device at Staples.
You're right. Staples, your favorite Apple store. Be my guest.
Right. Buy it at Amazon. but that security thing on the mobile is huge.
Right.
I can't, I don't add apps to my phone. My son has the exact same phones, and every Friday night I give him my phone and say, take off all the apps I'm never going to use.
Right.
Because they add themselves, apparently.
They do. Well, it also gets interesting on the security front. We were doing an executive briefing a few weeks ago at Immix, and you think about, our soldiers are taking their iPhones, onto the war front. We've got journalists that are overseas. And if you know anything about mobile technology, you can pinpoint where that device is, and then you know who's connected to it.
Yeah.
So if you think about it, you've got a soldier, or think about a journalist, Ebola and everything else that's going on. We've got a journalist that's in one of those foreign countries that says, we see something going on here that isn't right. Yeah, you actually want to go in and wipe that phone out remotely to make sure that phone can't be pinpointed or what was sent off of it. Otherwise, you put a target on somebody's back.
Right.
So you think about security that's out there just in the journalism community, which is one I never thought of before. I know about soldiers, about the security spooks we've got out there. But think about just a journalist trying to report on some protest in some non-friendly country.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want them targeted. So you've got to be able to remotely
handle that security.
No, you don't.
But if they're grabbed, you also know their last point of entry.
Right. Well, so. You know that, but then you want to wipe the phone so they can't see what was sent out.
Right.
So interesting security software these days.
Yeah, it is. We'll come back to the Gartner list after the break. My guest today is Bob LeClade from the Immix Group. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Back after these messages. Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Bob LeClade of the Immix Group. And again, you can find the Immix Group and information about that event that Bob referenced, November 20, at Immix, immixgroup.com. That event, I got to tell you, it's shaping up to be a really, really good event. It's going to be at the McLean Hilton over in Tysons?
McLean Hilton on November 20th. And you can either get there via the Immix Group website, or there's a separate website just for the event, which is govitsalesummit.com, where you can register as well. Yeah, we think we'll have, looking at the registration numbers from yesterday, probably over 600 people at that event. So we're definitely going to fill up the McLean Hilton parking lot pretty fast.
Yeah, I'll be there early.
Good advice.
I hate not getting a parking spot. All right, back to our buddies at Gartner and their list. Advanced and pervasive invisible analytics. What the? I know the analytics side.
Well, I think it is just, as they say, big data is probably an overarching term, but the ability to go through the data and figure out what's in there and what indicates trends in there is important.
Okay.
So as you as a consumer are kind of watching you walk around town and hit shops and what you're buying and things like that, the ability for a retailer to analyze that and figure out what you might want to buy next or other things, it's kind of where that's coming from. As well as just medical community. Everybody they can survey now in electronic healthcare records, pull it all in and say, Bob, the risk of eating that cheeseburger for lunch is not good for you, so stop that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's all the big data and the analytics that comes with that particular category, but a huge category and big upside for the data analytics side of the market and those vendors these days.
Yeah, and I know you work with one of my friends on this, or Immix works with one of my friends on this, Brocade.
Yes.
And they are quite adept in this area.
Mm-hmm.
So,
as well as things like software-defined networking that's in one of the other Gartner segments, the next version of networking, which is all the SDN. That is fascinating where that's going.
Well, who are the players there?
Well, SDN, well, I'm going to get myself in trouble because I'm not a techie here, but software-defined networking, you no longer need a specialized box to do particular kinds of networking. It's all done in the software on a generic piece of hardware. So,
is it a software-as-a-service kind of gig? Or?
No, it's just the software is very customizable based on what your networking wants to be, as opposed to today, we're kind of hardware-defined in that, if you will.
Okay. What about, and this one's been around for a couple of years now, and it baffled me early on, but I'm getting a grasp. What about cloud?
Oh, cloud. You know, I think cloud may be one of the most overhyped terms we've got in the industry, but it's certainly a piece of it. When I get into a business planning session with a partner, I usually have the CEO turn to me and go, Bob, how do you make money at the cloud? And I wish I had a good answer for them. People that are just trying to resell cloud services, which are out there, and you and I know a number of people that play there, they haven't figured out how to make money at it. Where the solution providers are making money in the cloud is with helping agencies set up their cloud applications, secure their cloud applications, and migrate to it. So it's the services side of cloud for the channel that's been profitable. Just reselling cloud stuff, you know, you can't make the same kind of money you could at that back in the old days. So.
Just Amazon.
They're the vendor. They're not the channel partner, right?
Right, yeah. So, but I think they get like a little royalty every month.
Right.
So.
Well, that's why just reselling doesn't help. You can't make the same kind of money on an annuity that you can on, you know, selling a big data center or something like that.
Yeah, it's not listed specifically on Gartner's list, but cyber is still, you know, that elephant in the room kind of thing. What are the opportunities here for the vendor side, and where are the how many niches really are there in cyber?
Well, you know, that's a great question. We've got a very extensive, you know, cybersecurity line card, which is led by some of the major security vendors you and I know. You know, you have the Palos and McAfees and people like that that play in it. But what I'm more fascinated by, Mark, is the number of new vendors that are coming into it. Mm-hmm. I look at our cybersecurity line card, and you and I think we know every vendor in town. There's 50 of them I've never heard of before that are coming up, and they're niche, and they, you know, they're an add-on to one of those major security vendors out there. Mm-hmm. It's probably the most difficult thing I've handled in channel sales in my career is the number of new vendors coming up that are very niche. They're the weirdware. They are the disruptive technology that it makes this whole thing work. So a solution provider today needs to have kind of a CTO function that's looking at these, figuring out how they fit, figure out how they can utilize them in their existing or potential customer client base.
Well, you must have, you know, X number of companies every day, every week, every month calling and saying, will you represent us in the market? What's your, and these are the, you know, the manufacturing side, the niche side, the weirdware side.
Mm-hmm.
How what's your criteria for picking these partners, man? That's got to be.
Well, I think the first thing that every distributor aggregator like MX Group looks at is just because you get on our line card doesn't create demand. So you want somebody that, you know, fits something or you can tag on to something. So if it's, I'll just pick on one of our vendors. If you're a Palo partner, you want a niche product that fits with Palo somehow.
Right.
I don't want something that doesn't fit our line card. So you're looking at how those group together. So that's probably the first criteria. Because if you're, as I said, if you're talking to a CIO that knows Palo or knows McAfee, here's another niche vendor that fits on that. So that's probably our first criteria. Otherwise, you need end user demand. And with a new product, you know, something new came out of Silicon Valley last week, nobody knows who they are. So that's probably our first criteria. And then secondly, you look for stability of the company. You don't want to sell something into one of the three-letter agencies that's going to be gone in 6 months. So you're looking for stability of that vendor. And that's hard with startups because they can have venture capital funding and still be losing money. And it could be the neatest, sexiest product we've seen in the market in 10 years. So that's a hard decision for us sometimes. Just kind of place your bets, if you will.
What about the company that calls you and says, I have a no-brainer for government buyers? Have you ever heard this before?
They're all no-brainers. Every phone call starts out like that. You're absolutely right. And you know, when you look at them, there is a purpose for it. The question is there a market for it?
Right.
A market be created for it?
Right, and you know, is it appendable to a current contractual vehicle? Are you a candidate for GSA in a in an environment where GSA is shrinking the number of vendors, right, not trying to add to them?
Well, have they got enough commercial sales that I can even get them on a GSA schedule? Have you got, you know, commercial, yeah, sales practices and pricing practices? If they don't have that, it, you know, it's hard to put them on a contract, obviously,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So
we've got a couple of minutes left here. Give me some advice for the, again, let's go back to the VAR side of the community. What do we're looking at continuing issues on budgets, LPTA, FSSI. give them some advice.
Well, there's always ups and downs in budgets. Agency budgets are up and down, things like that. I think while we're telling everybody to get specialized in technology, if you will, I think you need to be a little more general in agencies you're covering. So if you're just doing DOD today, I would tell somebody you also want a civilian agency you got some balance on. If you're just doing federal, I'd probably also look at getting into the SLED markets as well. It's kind of like diversifying your stock portfolio. You want to have a couple of things that can ping on. Mm-hmm. Feds are down, SLED is up. If SLED's down in the state of California, you can drop back on your federal budget. So I like that diversification on the customers that the solution provider is selling to, but specialized within the technology.
Okay, and that would obviously lead to picking a partner like an Emix that contractually covers
both, you know, sides, right? Can be public sector on either side. Very important.
All of the above. Bob, thank you so much for coming in today.
Mark, it's been a pleasure. I look forward to seeing a lot of your listeners at our Government IT Sales Summit on November 20th in McLean. It should be a great event.
There you go. You are listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio. This is not my day job. If you want some outside advice on either your go-to-market plans for the government market, or, as Bob and I discussed, if you need some advice on leveraging LinkedIn for your company, give me a call, drop me a line at markamtower@gmail.com. And again, you've been listening to AmTower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. And thank you very much for listening to AmTower Off-Center.
You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off-Center, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.